Let's stand, take our Bibles, and turn to Luke chapter 2, verses 36 through 38. Luke 2, 36 through 38. That whole, like, conversation thing, keep that going after the service. It's great. Stick around. All right, Luke chapter 2, 36 through 38 is our text today.
And there was a prophetess, Anna, the daughter of Phanuel, of the tribe of Asher. She was advanced in years, having lived with a husband 7 years after her marriage, and then as a widow to the age of 84. She never left the temple, serving night and day with fastings and prayer. And at that very moment, she came up and began giving thanks to God and continued to speak.
We believe in your Holy Spirit, Father. Believing in your Holy Spirit, we believe that you're here to counsel us. You're here to open our hearts. You're here to enlighten us and reveal Jesus to us. You're here to break chains. You're here to transform. We believe and welcome you, Holy Spirit, right here. So do all of what you do as we're in your word. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. This thing seems to only cut out on everybody else but me. I don't know what the deal is with this mic. Hello. Okay. Well, I hope everyone had a great Christmas, just going through this week, and you're seeing people you haven't seen for a while. I also know that this can be a hard week, and the more you hear the Merry Christmases around, for some of you, it can feel like another little stab in your heart, because for some of you, this is a Christmas that's different, because there's someone who's not there anymore. There's an empty seat at the table. And because of that, this is a different kind of Christmas. And I get that. And knowing that, I just felt led to go to Anna. Anna, I don't know if you heard a sermon on Anna. She only gets three verses in Luke. But in these three verses, we have such a life, such a visionary life, such a great, impactful life in three verses. Anna here, she's about 84 years old is what it says in the scriptures. But if you look in the Greek, it could be that the scriptures are saying that she was a widow for 84 years as well. So we don't know if she was 84 years old or if she was a widow for 84 years, which if she was, then she's like 105. Because as she got married, as like a normal Jewish young woman would in her teens. Maybe 14 years old, 15 years old. And then 7 years into marriage, her husband dies. And since that time, say you're her young 20s, she's a widow, either for, you know, some 60-some years or for 84 years. But she's a widow for all those years. And as a widow, she is someone who, of course, missed the companionship of her husband. Trish and I are going to celebrate our 8th anniversary tomorrow, and being at 8, it kind of makes me go, whoa, we beat Anna, at least. We got past that. But 8th anniversary tomorrow, Anna and her husband had 7. And I can imagine just the sense of loss that she would feel. Many of you do, too. But not only was there a loss of a companion, but in this culture, in this time, there would also be the loss of security, financial security. Because to be married in this time was to know that you had someone, a man, in this very kind of patriarchal society, a man whose name you could fall under. She had security that she would have a property. She would have a house. She would be taken care of. And normally she would have children who would then also take care of her. She lost her husband and she didn't have any children. So not only does she have that real sense of loss of a companion, a friend, a lover, but she lost financial security. She lost a lot of things in this time in her life. But she has spent most of her life this way. And one of the things you see here is, even though you might think she's the one who needs the consoling, she's the one doing the consoling. She's no victim. She's not wallowing in self-pity. She's actually the one who is fully alive to God and His Spirit and blessing other people. How does she get there? How does she become this woman who probably had a lot of reasons to say, hey, poor me, poor me, poor me. Help me, I need you to help me. And yet she turned it all around to be a blessing to other people. How did she do that? Well, let's look at a few things. Number one, Anna found her hope in God's story. Anna found her hope in God's story. So she uses her own need for consolation and comfort by the loss of her husband and having no children by moving into something bigger than herself. Moving into God's story, God's redemptive story of the world. So you see there at the end, verse 38, coming up to them at that very moment, she gives thanks to God and spoke about the child to all who were looking forward to the redemption of Jerusalem. That's part of God's story. God's missionary heart is including the redemption of Jerusalem, or the consolation of Israel, you might see in other texts. So you get to know that Anna, when her husband died, she must have surrendered her plans and her hopes and her dreams to God and to God's greater story. There's no anger here to God. She's just surrendering. She's surrendering to God's story. And then that launched Anna into this lifetime of service to God, where she committed to serve God and be part of God's story in her life. And her devotion grew over the years. Her anticipation grew over the years. Her hope grew over the years that God would demonstrate His power and His love to her and to God's people, because that's the story of God. I hope that's an encouragement to you. Perhaps you're thinking at the end of this year, hey, this was a hard year. Lots of hits, lots of losses, and you're tempted, I'm sure, to kind of get your story small, to shrink your story into yourself and into your own needs. She did the opposite. She actually went big into God's big story. I always love the story Donald Miller tells in one of his books. I can't remember. I think it was 1,000 miles in 1,000,000 places or something like that. But there's a story he tells of this teenage girl who is really rebellious. She's dating the completely wrong guy. She's starting to experiment with drugs. She's got this lifestyle that's just going downhill really fast. And so she's got her dad. And her dad is there looking at her, and he has a couple of options. He can either lay down the law, right? Say, hey, it's my way or the highway. You better straighten out. Or he comes up with this idea. He talks to his wife and says, there's an orphanage down in Mexico. Let's go serve as a family. And so he tells his daughter, hey, we're going to go serve. She's like, oh, I don't want to do this, right? But she goes serve. The family serves in this orphanage. And something happens to this teenage girl where her heart just starts seeing these children who are orphans. And she starts caring for them with compassion. The family comes back home after that experience, and she is now a different person. She's off of the drug. She dumps her boyfriend. Why? Because she's part of a bigger and better story. She's got a bigger and better story. Parents, this is one of the best things you can do for your kids, is to introduce your kids to a bigger and better story, the story of God. Because what they're looking for is a story that's worth living in. And it's either going to be the story of just temporary pleasure, or it's going to be some small story. When you have God's big story that they can be part of, that's what our job is. Our job is to introduce our kids to the big story of God. That's what Anna caught herself up in, the big missionary heart of God. And that is how Anna saw herself. Now, how do you enter God's story? One, you do what Teresa's been doing. You read it. It's right here in the scriptures, from the Old Testament all the way through the New. She only had the Old Testament. And so she's reading the Old Testament, and she's reading, comes to the end of Isaiah. And at the end of Isaiah, she discovers, oh, God's heart of mission is for not just Israel, but it's for the entire world. It's the entire universe. And what is God doing? He wants to renew all things, everything. Absolutely everything that is broken in the world, God wants to renew and heal and restore. And how is he going to do that? Well, there's this Messiah's figure. There's this prophet king figure throughout the scripture, this priest figure throughout the scripture. It's the Messiah. So she knows that God is going to redeem all the world and do it through this one person, Messiah. Do it through this one person, Messiah. That's the story of God. And she loves that story. So how do you get into it? You read it. Anna knew the story of God. She knew that Jesus would be the focal point of that story and that God was on the move right now to work renewal of everything. So when you know that God is on the move, when you know that God is working to renew all things all over the world, then you know that God is at work in your little neighborhood. God is at work in your family. God is at work in your church. God is at work. You want to be part of it. That's how you enter in. So when you read the scriptures, you see, oh, this is how God works his mission. This is how he does it. He does it through a missionary people. He does it through people. That's what Israel was about. Israel's role was to be the missionary people of God. And yet Israel had rejected God and rejected their role in God's story. And because they did, then they fell away and they got dispersed. And so because of that, then Anna said, oh, the consolation of Israel is what's needed. God, we need you to restore Israel to her rightful place as your missionary people in the world. That's what we need. And so that's what she prayed for. You get it? So that's where this whole redemption of Jerusalem, the consolation of Israel, all that comes from knowing God's story, and that an essential part of God's story is the role of Israel as God's missionary people. She was praying and waiting on God in the temple with a community of people who are waiting on God. God, restore Israel's rightful place in your story. That was what she was all about. That's what she was all about. So she knew God's mission, she knew the story, and she knew that there wasn't any tragedy or any setback in her own life that would ever stop God's story. You hear that? There's no tragedy that you're going to face, there's no setback in your life, there's no obstacle, there's no shattered dream that's going to happen in your life that will ever stop the mission of God. That's why when the setbacks happen, when the tragedies happen, we don't quit. We don't get off the ride. We don't say, okay, I'm out, God. No, we stay on mission because God doesn't stop his mission. That's what we can be part of, and that's what Anna knew. She found her hope by being part of God's story. So you keep going when the setbacks happen. Anna kept going when she lost her husband, when she didn't have her kids. She stayed on mission. Don't check out of life. God is with you. God is with you, and God is on the move through you. So center your hope in his story. Number two, Anna centered her hope in God through spiritual practices. So she did certain things that would center her hope, keep her heart and her hope centered on God. What were those things? Verse 37. She never left the temple, but worshipped night and day, fasting and praying. It's likely as a widow that she was given some attached housing that was near the temple that allowed her to come into the temple night and day. But this kind of reminded me of how I grew up. Remember the days in which you just were in the church whenever the doors were open, right? Sunday morning service, Sunday school before service, you had Sunday evening service. You were just in church. I was in church all day long on Sunday. And then during the week, because there was Wednesday Bible study, there was Friday youth group, we were just in the church all day long. What happens when you're in the church all day long? What happens when you're with God's people all day long? You find your place to serve. You find your place to serve. Because why? It's kind of like what happened at Christmas at your house or wherever you were. You had people over, you were at somebody's house, right? All the people are eating, and then they're done. Then there's this pile of dishes. Who's going to do that, right? And so what do? You just jump in. You jump in, you wash dishes, or you dry dishes, or you put stuff away, right? That's what you do. That's what you learn to do when you're in the temple a lot. You say, hey, I'll do that. Hey, I'll serve this way, right? That's what you do when you're in the temple. Anna found herself in the temple, and she found her place to serve. She found her place to serve. And what was her place to serve? As a prophetess. As a prophetess. All right, so that opens up some questions. She's a woman? Prophet? What? How's that working? Okay, my theology, my doctrine, it's kind of getting kind of quirky here. Okay, what do we do with this? Okay, if we had time, we could go into the whole view of Scripture on the role of women. Does God use women in ministry? Short answer, yes. Okay, class? Got that? Does God use women in ministry? Yes. Yes, he does. Okay? All right. Not sure? Oh, man. There's Esther. There's Deborah. There's all kinds of people through the Old Testament, right? That God used mightily. There's all kinds of people in the New Testament. Just read Romans 16. In Romans 16, Paul writes to the Romans, and he thanks God for all these women who are serving in ministry. Okay, just read that. There's Priscilla, right? There's Mary. But in a teaching role, this is what we're looking at. This is where the issue is. Can women teach? You had Priscilla teaching Apollos. Hello. Okay, that was Acts 18. Okay? All right. So if you got issues on that, talk to me afterwards. We can go through scriptures. And there's plenty of good arguments to be made on all sides. But let's just for now just say this is the position of our church and the Church of the Nazarene and us right now. It is that, yes, God can use women in leadership in teaching roles. Okay, moving on. As a prophetess, what is her role then? Her role as a prophetess is to give messages from God to the people. Simply that. Sometimes we think prophets are the ones who tell the future, you know, they have this crystal ball thing. Now, it's not all about that. That does happen. But really the primary role is a prophetess is someone who hears messages from God and gives them to God's people. Okay? That's what a prophet does. That's what she did. When she was in the temple, she found her role. She found her role was that God gives me messages to speak to God's people. That was her role. And she used those gifts. She used those gifts. The more she used those gifts, the more that she could really cultivate her hope in God. And it says that she fasted and that she prayed. Fasting is a practice of one who knows that not everything is going well. You fast when things are not going well. You fast because the world is not right. You fast because you know God needs to show up. You're fasting because you're putting your physical body in the spiritual posture that says, God, we need you to show up because the world's not right. That's why she fasted. When she's fasting, what is she doing? She's centering her hope on God. God, we need you. I need you more than I need my cup of coffee. I need you. I need you more than I need this breakfast. We need you. That's why we fast. It puts our hope in the right place. In God. We pray because we put our hope in God. We depend on God. We're not going to rely on ourselves, but we're going to say, God, you're the one who needs to show up. And so these are the spiritual practices that Anna practiced. She prayed, she fasted, she used her gift of prophecy to build up the people of God. This is what she did. So the question for us is, what are we doing? What are we doing in the practices that we practice? Are we praying? Are we fasting? Are we using the gifts that God has given to us so that we can keep our hope on God? Are we listening to the Holy Spirit? Are we doing that? What practices do you have in your life, in your routines, so that you can focus your hope on God? Because the more that Anna did this throughout her life, from that place of loss to this place 84 years later, she has a renewed, strong, bold hope in God. That didn't come by accident. It came by practice. It came by putting herself into spiritual practices where she can center her hope on God. What are the practices you need to practice in 2020? As you're starting to think about 2020 and the new routines, and you're getting back into, you know, what is life going to be like? What are the spiritual practices that you need to practice so that you can keep your hope on God? Keep your focus on God. Maybe it's fasting. Maybe it's prayer. Can I tell you, it's definitely prayer. And can I tell you, it's definitely being in God's Word and knowing His story so that you can be part of His story. What are you going to do? What are those practices in your own life? How can you serve? Serving is a practice. Serving helps you put your focus on God. When you're serving, you're saying, I want God, you to use me. Right? So this is what we do when we serve. God, use me. Let me be an instrument in your hand. Let me be filled with your Holy Spirit so that I can be a blessing to other people. And so that's what we do when we're serving, praying, fasting, reading the scriptures. God, I want to know you. I just want you to be the front and center of my life. Amen? So what practices are you going to practice in 2020 that will help you cultivate your hope in God? Okay. And number three, we kind of touched on this. Anna built her hope up in others by God's Holy Spirit. So there she is as a prophetess, and she's bringing the word of God to people who are needing a lot of help. This is a community of people. I've been wondering, okay, here's Anna, but who is this group of people who are waiting for the consolation of Israel? Who are they? Who are this little community that's gathering in the temple and they're looking for the redemption of Jerusalem? This is a people who are tuned into the brokenness of their world, aren't they? They know that things are not right. And so they're in the temple saying, God, the only one who makes this right is you. Israel at the time was under Roman oppression, so clearly that was an issue. And the Roman oppression was causing death and persecution and all kinds of problems in Israel. So Jerusalem in Israel was certainly not the city that God designed it to be. So they gathered into that temple feeling the pains of their people, feeling the oppression of the people, and they gathered together. But sometimes when you gather together in the midst of something hard like that, it's easy to lose hope. It's easy to despair. One of the dangers about people who gather together because they feel some sort of issue or need is that you can collectively move into despair. Like when people start just griping and complaining about everything, then it just brings the whole ship down, right? But this group of people didn't do that. They gathered together feeling the pains of their world, feeling the pains of their community, and they brought it to God looking for hope. So here's Anna coming in, bringing words of hope into their situation, into their brokenness. I love that. That's what the church ought to be. The church ought to be a whole community of people who are feeling the brokenness of their world, feeling the brokenness inside. Oh, that I would love you, God, the way that Jesus does. Oh, that I would love my neighbor the way that Jesus does, but I don't, and I want you to. I need you to heal me. I need you to mature me. I need you to grow me. And so we gather together and we share those struggles with each other. And we say, here's the brokenness in me. What about you? Here's my brokenness. What about the world? Here's the brokenness of the world. Here are the people, my neighbors. Here are the people who need prayer. And what do? You're sharing those things and then you're saying, ah, but let us hold on to the hope that we have in Christ. Let's hold on to the promises that we have in Christ. Anna the prophetess was someone who listened to the Holy Spirit for words from God to bring to people who needed hope. That's why we read the Scriptures. We read the Scriptures so that we can be filled with those promises in our own minds, in our own hearts, so that when we see the world around us and we feel the aching around us, like we sang before, oh, do you hear creation groaning? Oh, yeah, we do. We do. We're the people who hear creation groaning. We're part of the groaning. But there is one who is worthy to break every seal and open the scroll and make it all whole again, and that's Jesus. And so that's when we listen to the Holy Spirit and we say, Lord, what's your word for us? What is your promise to us? What's your promise to my sister who's hurting right now? Tell me your word. Tell me your promise. Give me a message of hope that will point her to you. That's what we're to do as a church, okay? You with me? No one's with me. Are you with me? Okay, just a nod would help. Just anything. Just, yeah, okay? So, yeah, just if we can be that people, if we can be that people, then we will help each other build our hope in God. Because here's the thing. If we don't, we're tempted to despair and we're tempted to not wait on God and we're tempted to go every other place to try to find some sort of comfort, some sort of consolation for the pain. So if we don't do it together, we're going to be tempted to find other ways to find some consolation. The world does it by medicating themselves, right? Drugs, alcohol, whatever, sex, porn, all of that. That's the way the world does it. We can do it in all kinds of other ways too. Throw ourselves into work, throw ourselves into our career, do all kinds of things to try to medicate the pain of the world. We're to bring that pain, share that pain, and listen to what God has to say to bring hope to each other, to each other, to each other. Okay? Can we be that people in 2020? Let's be that people in 2020. The people of hope that grow their hope because they're listening to the Holy Spirit as they're sharing the pain that they feel of their world around us. That's what our small groups need to be about. That's what our gatherings need to be about here on Sunday. That's what it needs to be about. Let's make it about that. Because friends, look, you've got a loved one who's got a heartbreaking prognosis, like they've got 2 weeks to live, and you're trying to overcome the fear that goes with that over what's next, or you see your company is about to downsize and you're thinking, oh, I'm probably going to lose my job in the midst of this, and the fears and the anxieties that go along with that. You don't know what's happening. Some of you came, just to be real, some of you had some hard family gatherings last week when you were during your Christmas time. Some tough stuff started coming up because you saw family members hurting each other, saying the wrong things to each other. Those kinds of things can cause us some anxiety and some fears. And it's in the midst of those that we need to find the hope of Jesus and a good word of encouragement that says, no, God's working. God's in the midst of this. Don't lose heart. Keep your eyes on Christ. He's with you. He's walking with you. Don't fear. I love that little line from "O Little Town of Bethlehem," I think is the line. The hopes and fears of all the years are met in thee tonight. You know what that's saying? It's saying, oh, I've got all these fears. Losing a loved one, losing a job, all kinds of fears that are here. But they're wrapped together with these hopes that I have, knowing that Jesus is the one who's with me, and his promises are sure for me, that he will walk with me, and that even when I see things falling apart in front of me, that I'm believing in Jesus, in working. He's working, that he's doing things that I cannot see. That's how my hopes and fears are met in you, Jesus, tonight. That's what Anna knew. That's what this community of the hurting, this community in waiting, that's what they knew. That they could bring their fears, but they also brought their hopes. And in Jesus, they found their hopes and fears met. In Jesus. So I want to encourage you, be a man or a woman of the Word of God. Be a man or a woman of the Spirit of God, and be a man or a woman who feels the pain of the world. And when you bring all of that together, that's when the hopes and fears you have are met in Jesus. You will find in Jesus your anchor, the one who will walk with you through all of that. Lastly, Anna shared her hope. So Anna walks into the temple. Remember, she's a person of the Spirit. And she comes to the temple a lot, but it was right in the moment that Mary and Joseph brought Jesus into the temple to be dedicated. It was right in that moment. It was the Spirit of God who moved her into the temple for that moment. And it says, she was moved with gratitude, for she had seen the child. She had seen Jesus. And it says in the Greek that she gave thanks and she spoke. And in the Greek, it's she continually gave thanks and she continually spoke about this child. Because in him are met, in him are hopes and fears. And so what am I going to do? Thank you, God. Here he is. Our hopes and fears met in you tonight. The consolation of Israel, the restoration of all things is in this little baby, Jesus. So she can't stop talking about it. She's sharing about him. She's part of the mission of God, because the mission of God is saying, okay, he's here. Turn to him. Believe in him. Trust in him. It's Jesus. In him. That's what she did. She shared about this hope. A cool thing that Luke does here in mentioning these names. In verse 36, it says, there was also a prophetess, Anna, the daughter of Phanuel. You know what Phanuel means? The face of God. Peniel is another Hebrew word that we see in the scriptures. The face of God. You know what Hannah means? Anna's from Hannah, which means grace. So there's Hannah, the grace of God, found in the face of God, Jesus, who she just sees. And then it says she was of the tribe of Asher. You know what Asher means? Happy. What is Anna about here? Anna's about God's story. What is God's story? That God is a God of grace, and that grace is found in the face of God that you can see in Jesus. When you see his face, you'll find happiness. You'll find joy. That's what she was sharing. That's what she talked about. That's what she couldn't stop talking about. With all the people who were there feeling the pain of the world and mingling it with the hope that they have in the scriptures, that's who she couldn't stop talking about, because this is everything they were hoping for. It's Jesus. So that's our call. Our call is to do the same. That our finding our hopes and fears in Jesus would compel us to then go and share about Jesus with others. That we would be part of the mission of God and say, here he is. Here he is. I want you to know Jesus. Because when you know Jesus, you see the face of God. When you know Jesus, you see his grace. When you know Jesus, you find your happiness. This is what happens when you know Jesus. Will you do that? This year, as we move into 2020, it's a year in which we need to... It's funny how 2020 is about vision, right? Anna had such a clear vision, but God enlarged her vision from just being a woman who was a widow and lost a husband, and God enlarged her vision so that she would be part of God's larger mission, larger story that's all wrapped up in Jesus Christ. And because she did that, she was able to live for something bigger than herself. She could be a conduit. She could be an instrument in God's hand. She could participate with God in his mission in the world so that other people can know the redemption that's in Jesus Christ. So let me ask you, who's going to be your mission in 2020? Who's part of your mission in 2020? Who are the people that you are cultivating friendships with in 2020? Who are the people around you who need consolation? Who need someone to talk about their pain with so that you can have a word for them from God to say, here's your hope. Here's something that I think God wants you to know. He loves you. Who are those people that you can build relationships with? And believe me, you don't have to go very far. Just start in your place, right where you are. Mission starts in one place, right where you are. Just look around and you will see there are neighbors who need consolation. There are people who are lost and need to know Jesus. Take a walk around your neighborhood. Just look at them. See these families who are playing together. You can start to imagine, what are the needs that they have? How can you pray for them? Who's that friend who moved into your area and doesn't know anybody, but they have all kinds of needs? Can you be that friend? Who are the friendships that you will cultivate? Who will be part of the mission? How will you make room for God's mission in 2020? Are you in it? Are you part of the story? Are you finding yourself settling for a smaller story? Smaller stories. You have plenty of those, right? Your career, your family, all those good things. Small story. Really small story. Will you make room for God's story? 2020, will you make room for God's story? Will you allow him to be your story this coming year? Can you give attention to some spiritual practices? Just 5 minutes a day. Five minutes. For the word and prayer. 5 minutes a day. Word and prayer, 5 minutes a day. Can you commit to that? So that you can keep your hope on God. Keep your hope cultivated on God. And then, are you going to be part of his mission? Who are those people that you can love? Who are the people you can pray for? Who are the people you can support and help? Who are the people that you're willing to listen to their pain? Can we be that people? When we gather together, can we be that people that can bring our pain and our suffering and then say, God, Holy Spirit, share a word with us. We need you. God, Holy Spirit, share the promise with us. We need you. Can we be that people? Can we be that people? Let's pray. Lord Jesus, we pray that we would be that people. That we would all make room for your mission in 2020. Help us to cultivate this hope that Anna had and find ourselves in a much bigger story than ourselves. Father, we ask, Lord, that you would inspire us by your Holy Spirit, that you would give us messages to give to others who need help, that you would give us your promises to encourage others who feel a lot of pain. Use us. That's our prayer, Lord. Use us. Use me. Speak to me. The way you spoke to Anna, speak to me. And speak through me. I want to be that person. Person of hope. I want to be part of your story in 2020. Do that, Lord. I ask in Jesus' name.